Sorry, Rosamam, here with another episode of that 401k podcast, the little podcast that could. A minute from now, we'll talk to Dan Venturi from Brightworks, and this week's episode is really going to be how advisors need to partner up with other plan providers to help grow their practice. Just something just based on my experiences and whatnot. As far as announcements before Dan gets on, Kansas City, that 401k conference, it's going to be 6 months away, but we booked the event. We had a lot of tremendous support from plan providers, so we will be at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, May 3rd, 2019. Put that on your schedule. It has been booked. It is official. We'll be announcing the people that have signed up to sponsor the event, the providers that have done that, as well as the former Royal Greats that will book. Right now it's still up in the air. I'm certainly hoping for some people. We'll see what happens. And in addition, we're working on other events, St. Petersburg or maybe Tampa Bay. We'll see what happens with that. That's going to be in March. As well as the fact that we're working on events for April. We're priming for Atlanta in April, as well as looking in the mix, Minneapolis, Denver. It really depends, again, on plan provider interest, as well as the venue. Venue pricing is, of course, with any event, a really important part of where we decide to go next.
Yep.
Dan, how are you?
I am well. How have you been, bud?
Pretty good. I went to the WWE Evolution pay-per-view on Sunday with my daughter. That's the first time. Yeah, it was pretty good. The first time I've been to a WWE event in 20 years. Got her tickets on the floor right by the rails where the wrestlers enter, from the back.
Oh, wow.
And she got
get some high fives?
She got a high five from Nia Jax, which is she's like a big Samoan wrestler.
Okay, cool.
So she had fun with that. How was Vegas?
Vegas was interesting. So we crashed the recon event.
Well, you can't say that. You were in the area, so.
Sorry, yes. I was in the general vicinity of the event. From a personal standpoint, we got done what we wanted to. We hosted a dinner at the Bellagio, the steakhouse in the Bellagio. That went really well. The tables were unkind at first, but we rebounded towards the end of the trip. I will tell you this, as a former ex-smoker, I have this acute sense, or as an ex-smoker, rather, I have an acute sensitivity to smoking, and the slot machine that was hot was in the smoking section, so it was kind of rough, and then that was compounded. I'm not sure if I could actually use the individual's name, but there's a restaurant in the Venetian that bears the name of a certain pastry dude that's on TV.
Yeah.
And we went there for dinner the night that we were leaving. We caught the red eye back, so we went there for dinner. And that's probably the sickest I've been in a long time. He got both me and my wife. So the lesson there is stick to your lane. If you're great at making cakes and pastries, then eat the great cakes and pastries they make, but don't think that they can shift the lane and be as good at that as they are at the other thing.
Yeah, I took my kids 2.5 years ago, and all they can complain about is the smoking, because in the casinos, because it's like a weird thing, In New York, the bars don't have smoking anymore. I mean, it's pretty much indoors doesn't exist. And the only one that was the Mandalay Bay that, it was like they pumped in like sweet air to nullify the smoking.
That's a smart idea.
At least that's what it smelled like. It smelled like everybody else.
Yeah, no, it's rough.
I know.
It's rough.
So,
anyway,
do you see any shows?
We didn't have a chance.
Yeah,
most of them were dark on Monday, at least the ones that we wanted to. And you know, the thing is, it's still a working trip, right? It's not like it was a vacation, so we still had clients and stuff to deal with. But Sunday was nice.
Yeah,
was
I mean, I always make sure to go to a trip. I mean, last time I was there was Napa in 17, and, you know, they have, like, these events, and I'm like, a party pooper. I'm like, I don't want to be at events with, you know, people from the industry, so I went to the Michael Jackson One Show. But yeah. And I remember NIPA in 16 when I spoke over there. They had an event with all of us to go to see Cirque du Soleil, the Beatles Love Show. So anyway,
that's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get down to our topic for the week. Really, how advisors can really help their practice out by partnering up with other plan providers. And I want to introduce this with a little story of mine. When I was an ERISA attorney at that semi-prestigious law firm that I always talk about, which I used to talk a lot more about, but, you know, it's been about 8 years since I left, I really had a tough time with selling my ERISA services to our existing clientele because we had partners with these client bases, and the partners just didn't want to talk to me, even though they would make 50 cents on the dollar for every buck I would bring in on the ERISA side. So it's just, I guess they're not capitalistic. Maybe they were just, I don't know. They're just holding on to their client list like it was the secret formula to KFC chicken. And so I said, you know, how am I going to grow a practice? So I decided really to start, you know, trying to work with advisors. And I had an advisor who's a friend of mine saying, well, you know, if I introduce you to my client, what's in it for me? Which is, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's you know, being really honest and you know, trying to start a relationship, and he's trying to answer, well, if I help my client with, you know, hiring you, what's in it for me on the other side? So since I didn't have clients, I said, well, you know, let me see what I can do. So that's when I started drafting these articles to help plan providers out, especially advisors. You know, they could use an article I wrote. Take it off to these potential clients and say, you know, this is what I've been saying, and you think this is a sales pitch, but, you know, this guy, Ari Rosenbaum, is saying the same thing that I am, and that's really how it started. And one of the first few articles, you know, I wrote is how financial advisors really need to partner up with other plan providers out there because they really can't be lone wolves in this business. It's all about, you know, to me, it's like a Western where you all got to stick together at the end and not be like Gary Cooper in High Noon and just be all alone. You got to partner up and be together and take on these potential clients. And when I was working for TPA, there was a salesperson by the name of Richard Larita, and he used to sometimes bring me along on these sales meetings, meeting with these advisors and helping them out and trying to get them business as well as, you know, in the end, getting us business. So, Dan, what do you think about advisors really having a need to partner up with plan providers? And we'll go through, you know, obviously a couple of them. But obviously, you know, why do they really need to partner up with a plan provider?
I think the single biggest reason is that plan providers have considerably more resources available than the individual advisor can bring to the table. You know, a lot of them in today's world, especially if you develop a relationship with that provider, a white label, or allow you to brand their materials, you know, that just makes you as an advisor look much bigger, much more polished, you know, that you have all these resources that you can bring to the table. The client's not going to think, oh, you know, this isn't your output, right? This was created by, you know, some giant corporation. They're not going to, that thought doesn't go through their mind. They're going to see your name, your information on it, and they're going to find, you know, the value or value in you being able to bring that to the table. And, you know, this is a competitive business, right? I mean, we all know that. We all have our big boy pants on, and folks lose business and win business sometimes by the craziest of details, right? And you know, something that a provider can bring to the table could very well separate or differentiate you from your competitors and help you land that plan.
Oh, absolutely. But let's talk about the providers and what kind of resources they can help us. I think that really, you know, I always say it, you know, I'm an ERISA attorney. I don't have a big enough ego, except, you know, my cartoon is in like every, you know, is in my website and the conferences. But aside from that, I really believe that despite my, you know, background and experience, I still believe that the most important plan provider out there is the TPA. And understanding the TPA as a resource, you know, not just taking the plan to so-and-so because they have the cheapest fee, but using the resources of the TPA on the selling side. They got salespeople, they have resources. That's somebody, you know, they should really rely on and can rely on.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, for folks that might not be too comfortable speaking to plan design, you know, that's a tremendous way to bring value in a differentiate yourself. Excuse me, in a sales presentation or in a finalist presentation, if you can analyze that client's demographics. As an example, right? Let's say the client has substantial turnover, but at the same time is offering immediate vesting on the match. Well, maybe it makes sense to have, immediate vesting and immediate entry into the plan. Maybe it makes sense to have, you know, a dual eligibility provision there to protect the plan sponsor from, you know, throwing money at folks that might not be there in you know, a year's time. So things like that, you know, TPAs can point out and help close business.
Right. You know, from my experience, I worked, again, 9 years working for a TPA. I worked with a salesperson, again, Rich Lorita. I used to always jokingly say, Rich couldn't spell 401k. But Rich would be at the sales meetings with the advisor, with the potential client. And when Rich needed to, he would call on me. Or we actually had one actuary that could, you know, that you actually could bring in and meet publicly with clients. And I jokingly say that because there are quite a lot of actuaries that are brilliant and they just can't express what they're trying to do in a language that plan sponsors can understand. So that's why I jokingly say, well, this was an actuary that we could bring to a meeting, because Andy Zimney, who is with what's the name of that? Ron Stair's organization, Plan Design, whatever, in their East, but I'm sorry, I apologize for not getting their full name, but Andy Zimney was somebody that we could bring to a meeting, and he would talk to the client. Same thing with me. Years ago, I worked with we had an advisor who had a client where they were involved in the business of marketing and design of the goodies that were in Happy Meals, not for McDonald's or Burger King, but for the other fast food places that had Happy Meals. Well, they're not Happy Meals, Kids Meals, because Happy Meals is a registered trademark of McDonald's. But Kids Meals for like Wendy's and Arby's and Subway, whatever. And what happened was is they had a payroll TPA involved, and they never bothered to discuss with them about the needs for a safe harbor plan design, as well as the reporting that said that, you know what, if you put a $7,000 CUNIC in the plan, then the owner of the company doesn't have to have a $10,500 refund of her deferrals. Rich brought me into the meeting. I discussed it. We were on the phone with you know, the payroll provider. They realized what they could do and how to fix it, and they hired us, and they were a very, very happy client. And that's just, to me, one resource where a TPA getting involved and bringing in their expertise, it just really rounds out an advisor's practice, because advisors really have no ERISA degree. You know, they weren't expected to be ERISA specialists and knowledgeable about ERISA and retirement plans and Internal Revenue Code. And utilizing the TPA's resources, they can bring in an expert, and they can do it for free. But of course, like I will always preface with any resource that we're talking about, advisors should never abuse the process. And, you know, we know those type of advisors who, you know, as an ERISA attorney, I could say, you know, call me all the time, and, you know, 6-7 years later, we still don't, you know, still hasn't brought me a dime worth of business. So like I say, when you utilize free resources, don't abuse it. But
I think the word is reciprocity.
Well, you know, retirement plan business has always been a relationship-driven business. And, you know, good relationships, it's a two-way street, like any type of relationship. You know, that's what my wife was telling my son a couple weeks back. You know, real friendships and real relationships are a two-way street, not a one-way street.
Solid advice.
And, of course, outside of that, you know, obviously through plan design, TPAs are very, very good at that. When you have a situation with a client or a potential client that doesn't have something that really maximizes contributions to the highly compensated employees and gives a minimum contribution to low compensated employees, you know, a TPA can help, you know, show how a plan design could put more money, obviously, in the pockets of the decision makers, whether it be a cash balance plan or a safe harbor plan design or whatever it may be. It's a great resource to have. Next resource, DCIL professionals. I don't really talk about them much because I still to this day, you know half of what they do. But DCIO individuals who work at mutual fund companies are a tremendous resource. Dan, you probably know more about them than I do.
I do. Well, I don't know if I do, but I've had more experience probably with them than you have, Ari, dating back to my consulting days. They're a tremendous resource. I'm not sure they're going to like me saying this, but they generally have deep pockets, so they're great resources if you want to have a seminar and you need some help offsetting the cost. You know, they're willing to help you carry the load of putting on an event. Really what they want, candidly, is shelf space in the lineup, right? That's why they're doing it. Their job is to take the same funds that are available outside of a 401k world, outside of a 401k plan, and make sure that they're being utilized within a 401k plan. You know, generally, the smarter ones, I think, will take their best fund and push that. But they are a tremendous resource, and I think it's a really good practice to reach out to the DCIO in your region for the funds that you use the most in your lineups, right? And get a return for that relationship. Get something that'll help you grow your business.
Right. You know, the DCIO people there, defined contribution investment only, is that what the DCIO stands for?
That's exactly what okay. It stands for.
So I'm playing, you know, I'm doing the Howard Stern thing of pretending I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, these DCIO representatives, they're all about making sure that there's further distribution of their funds in 401k plans. They are a tremendous resource. Personally, they're great sources of networking. Also, they are a tremendous resource for that 401k conference. You know, right now it's only November, and I already have an event in Kansas City. We have other events that we're working on in Tampa, St. Pete, and Atlanta. But the reason Kansas City got booked first was I had a TPA who says, "Oh, I got like 8 DCIOs who want to, you know, chip in onto the conference." Which, you know, cheap plug here is starts at only $500. And I said, okay, great. So I, you know, talked to the people at Kauffman Stadium, and voila, within a week we had a contract, and my design guy had the logo ready. So, you know, we're not accepting reservations for advice to want to attend, but, you know, it's there and there. But, yeah, they're tremendous resources. Also great resources for access to some of the benchmarking tools out there. They have access. They may give you some access to it. And, again, like I said, it's something out there. They don't have unlimited resources, and you can't abuse them if you're, you know, using getting favors from one fund company. You got to really realize that, you know, it's all about relationships in this business, and you got to respect that and not abuse them. And I, you know, one of my favorite people in the business is I'm going to give a shout out to Bill Shorey's. At Oppenheimer, one of my great friends in the business who I met through Rich Lorita and has been a tremendous help in my practice ever since I started out. You know, whether inviting me to speak to an event that he was organizing years ago in Melville, Long Island, or coming in on and presenting at the very first, that 401k conference at Citi Field, he was a tremendous resource. So you could really not understand the help that's out there. Everybody, you know, a lot of these providers, especially DCIO, TPAs, they want you to succeed. They want to help you out because, you know, again, that goes back to the time when I was writing these articles. You help people out with these articles and marketing materials, they're going to remember you when they got an ERISA attorney referral that they need to make. And that's how I really see it. And the same thing is, the next type of provider is an ERISA attorney. I suppose this is the point where I'm supposed to cough. But yeah, ERISA attorneys are a great resource. Dan, you could speak to personal experience about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not sure we'd be in business without Ari's talents with a pen.
You would have. You just would have paid a lot more money. You know, there are a lot of great ERISA attorneys out there. Maybe. Not name me.
Long story short, Ari was the individual that authored the white paper that helped us get our 316 established within the bounds of a large U.S. corporation. Fairly unheard of. I kept my job and was able to run a 316 at the same time. ERISA attorneys are great. I use Ari to this day for a bunch of things. Any little to big issues that we need addressed on the 316 side, I throw over the wall to Ari and don't worry that it's going to get done. Aside from the fact that Ari is, one of the brighter minds out there in the industry, this is important. Ari mentioned it already. It's not that they're I don't want to make it sound like it's a bad thing, but his services don't cost nearly as much as some of the folks out there on the street. So that when you package, the value that he brings from a pure legal standpoint, it's one of the reasons why we use him, and one of the reasons why Ari and I are partnering on some projects for the future.
I only wish I had.
Plug here, Ari, too.
I only wish I had relatives who could speak that highly of me because I really don't. aside from my wife and my kids, I really don't. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, ERISA attorneys, my practice has always been, I always hated the billable hour. Working at a law firm, I felt that that wasn't really a true measure of what attorneys did for their clients. I just felt that that was kind of like a strange arbiter. And when you work at a law firm, you realize when you have four people in the billing department, you got to fund that overhead. And so when I went on my own, I said, you know what, let me go to a flat fee billing. I only have the expense of, my Wi-Fi, my computer, that sort of thing. I don't have four people in billing. I do it myself and that sort of thing. But one big thing was I never wanted to be the guy who would charge people for a phone call. And if you can work with an ERISA attorney who can help you out with potential clients, potential matters, or that, that sort of thing, that's really where they are a great resource when they're not charging you. there's so many times when, there's this question that an advisor has, and I just don't charge them because, to me, it's all about relationship-driven business. I always felt that when you nickeled and dimed people that you work with, that really sets a bad precedent and doesn't really get the relationship good, off. I always talk about the time when I was working as a TPA attorney, and then I left to go for a union law firm, worked there, which was a mistake in the long run of things. And when I left, they replaced me with three people, and then they started charging people $150 for a safe harbor notice. And if you know anything about a safe harbor notice, it's pretty much the same one every year. You just copy and paste, search and replace the different year and replace the year. And so, people didn't want to be nickel and dimed. And so, working with an ERISA attorney, they can really help you out with potential clients and potential situations. I always have had an open door policy. I'm sure there are other ERISA attorneys out there that have that as well. And quite honestly, for some of the larger law firms, there isn't. They live and die by the billable hour, and because they need to really support that overhead, and they don't really have the time or the effort to devote themselves to what could be considered pro bono work, in the sense that, you know, they're helping out plan providers and not charging a fee. So, you know, they can be a tremendous resource, and, you know, I'm going to shill for myself because this is my podcast and my picture's in the podcast, whatever it is. And, you know, if there's an advisor out there that needs help, whatever, you know, I'm out there, you know how to reach me and all that kind of jazz. So for our next and probably last resource, I think auditors. You know, how do you think about auditors who do retirement plan audits?
It's too soon, Ari.
And when I say auditors, I also mean accountants.
They just left. We're 15 days removed, bud. No, in all seriousness, yeah, they're another tremendous resource. I would make sure that, you know, to Ari's point, and I think a theme throughout this particular podcast is make sure that things flow two ways. But auditors, accounting firms can be a tremendous resource of business. The ability to, and this brings up a provider from earlier, TPA, but the ability to have a good TPA in there to sort of massage or mediate that audit process will only help the client through what could be a nerve-wracking process, right? By definition, audits tend to scare people, and while, you know, these are ERISA audits, essentially, that largely don't go anywhere unless there's an issue with the 5500, let's say, people are still nervous, right? And the folks that are getting the information might not know what's being asked. These things are usually frenetic from a timing standpoint, so everyone's a little on edge. And Ari, I guess this is a great example, but auditors, aside from what they do as a standalone entity, in conjunction with a TPA or a 316 for that matter, can really simplify the audit experience for the client. And in the end, that's only going to solidify and strengthen the relationship that you have with that plan sponsor.
Yeah, I mean, I know an advisor out here in Long Island who's a client of mine, and he's very good at networking with accounting practices because it is a two-way street. He helps them with a lot of the issues from time to time, which I'm usually involved in nowadays. And, you know, he refers them clients. They refer him clients. You know, right now he's got a practice now with, restaurant groups who have, multiple restaurants and the problems that they have. So, you know, that could be a really tremendous resource. And again, it's a two-way street. You know, I think I told you the story about this accountant that I was networking for years. Somebody I know who was doing my law firm's 401k plan when I was there, just trying to get something going with him networking wise. And it was just, all I got to show for it was the fact that he got Saturday US Open tickets for me last time to play. The US Open was at Betpage Black. So, you try to develop relationships with people. In some ways, it doesn't really pan out. But there are a lot of really good advisors out, a lot of good auditors out there. And it doesn't have to be at the, I don't even know how many, there are big four accounting firms now. There's tremendous amount of talent out there in mid-size and even small-size plans.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we know a auditor out here in Long Island. And she does a fantastic job, and she started out alone, and now I think she has other staff, but she's fantastic. So if you're ever looking for a good auditor, TMI CPA is one of the great auditors out there. That's a cheap plug for her. But
just to add to the conversation, when you're looking at audits in the big four firms, remember, you only need a limited scope audit here. We've touched a ton of clients where, you know, these big accounting firms are pitching full scope audits and $30,000-$40,000 worth of bill invoices.
I've seen limited scope where they charge 20-something thousand. So, you know, it's you don't have to pay Cadillac pricing. You can pay Chevrolet pricing. You know?
Not at all. Between 8 to 10 thousand, typically, depending upon where you are geographically, is a good number.
For a limited scope,
you know, a little bit more maybe in big cities, but 8 to 10 is a good place to start.
But they are a tremendous resource to network with. You know, they need referrals. They've seen a lot of plans out there with a lot of problems, and it's a great resource, as well as accountants who are just regular accountants who don't do audit work as well. They are a tremendous resource. Because they're always looking to help their clients, and in many situations, it's not the financial advisor that's the kind of the gatekeeper for the plan sponsor. A lot of times, for the smaller and smaller business, it's the accountant. That's where they have the long-term relationship, and it's the accountant who's kind of driving everything in terms of the advisor and the TPA and whatnot. And they're again a great resource to work with, because they can talk about taxes and impacts of plan design and whatnot. And of course, auditors are great resources because they're very, very knowledgeable about ERISA and plan processes and situations to avoid. So again, they're a terrific resource.
Agreed. All right, we did talk about this.
What?
Thursday, Friday, right?
By the time they're going to listen to it, it will be the day of the conference. But yeah, next week, by the time you'll hear this, because we always tape a week in advance, by the time you hear this, we'll be in Philadelphia for that 401k conference. So instead, we're probably going to start, shilling for the other conferences that we're working on. And, as I discussed in my intro, that 401k conference in Kansas City, May 3rd, 2019. There are worse places to spend my birthday than Kansas City.
Happy birthday in advance.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's not going to be 106.
That's why we're doing it in May. And, yes. The two worst birthdays I've ever had in my life, I want to say number one was probably taking the criminal law final in my first year of law school. And number two, I had, with that law firm, I had to go to a meeting for this union, I had to drive back and front to and back from Albany, New York. And they're worse. I can't find the worst place to visit than Albany, New York. That's my personal opinion.
Do we have a celebrity guest yet for Kansas City?
No, my friend Larry's working on it. I have my friend Joe who attends these events. He says, he's hoping for Bo Jackson, but I'm like, I can't afford Bo. And we'll see. Bo's based on what he charges for an autograph at Steiner store. I don't think I can afford Bo. Bo was like charging $200 last time he was at the Steiner store.
Bo would be cool. What about George?
George works for the team. I don't know if he could take that assignment. Well, we'll see what he can, what my friend Larry can deliver. And he delivered me Andre Dawson for Chicago, so he can't get better than that.
That was pretty cool.
So we'll see. So I guess that's a wrap. We got a little shorter by a few minutes this episode, but we'll stay tuned for next week's episode. We'll have to develop a topic. We don't have it right then and there. We're not that planned out, but we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Bye, folks.
Have a good weekend. Take care.
You a grand slammer, but you know Babe Ruth. You gotta learn how to relate. I heard you swinging from the pearly gate. I got all the answers, and lo and behold, you got the right key, baby, but the wrong key. Ho, yo. Thank you.
side of the bed. And how I got to thinking about all those things you're saying.